Welcome in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. We have a great show in store for you today, folks. If you remember, when we had Adam Berry on recently, we were talking about the Estes Method. He was talking about a case they had on the show where they had reunited a mother and a daughter. And if you remember the case correctly, the mother had ascended to what she had believed was heaven. Her daughter was earthbound. And through the Estes Method, they brought together the mother and the daughter, and the two were able to communicate. The mother had indicated that the daughter had committed suicide. It was kind of a touchy subject. The daughter had told the mother how lonely she was. The mother had said, even though she was disappointed in the daughter, she still loved her and had missed her, and they had reconciled their differences through this Estes Method. And it's in Adam's new book, Goodbye, Hello, which, again, I encourage you to go out and get. It's a very good book. Today, we're going to bring in a guest, Nicole Tito, who has a new book out there, Ghostly Voices. And we're going to talk about the Estes Method and exactly how to go about the Estes Method in investigating. Some of you may be very well versed in the Estes Method and used it in your investigations. Others, such as myself, have never used the Estes Method. Now, keep in mind, I haven't been out on an active investigation in a couple of years due to my charcoal foot. So for me, I've never used the Estes Method in the field. I've seen it used on television, much like with Amy and Adam, and been intrigued about using it in the field, but never really been able to use it. So I figured, let's bring in Nicole and talk to her personally about exactly how this works in the field. Let's listen to some of the examples of it and get a good idea of that, plus get a good idea of what she does in the Chicagoland area with her group. Nicole Tito is a paranormal investigator, author, and creator of the ghostlyvoices.com. That's ghostly-voices.com website. She has been investigating the paranormal for over 20 years, participating in over 100 investigations across the United States. She grew up on the south side of Chicago, surrounded by famous ghost stories, including Resurrection Mary and Bachelor's Grove Tales. During investigation, Nicole loves collecting audio evidence, focusing on EVP and Estes Method sessions. When she isn't ghost hunting, Nicole works as a project manager and holds a DPT from Northwestern University and an MBA from Missouri State. She resides in the Chicago suburbs with her husband and two children. Let's bring in right now to Darkness Radio, Nicole Tito. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We greatly appreciate you being here. Let's start it off slow. I want to get into exactly where the inspiration for the paranormal begins. I take it begins young, like a lot of us. Yes. Where was your first experience and inspiration for the paranormal?
I'd say more like the inspiration. I'm from the south side of Chicago. Resurrection Mary, as a lot of people know, my family is actually buried in that cemetery.
Really?
We'd always be visiting there, and my dad would tell tales and point out where the bars were moved and things like that, and drive along Archer. So even at a young age, I was always intrigued. And then, of course, Unsolved Mysteries, loved that as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember going to the library and taking out as many haunted books as I can. And being in Chicago, I had a lot of people. I mean, I had Ursula wrote a lot of books, Troy Taylor, as well as Dale Kazmierik.
Yes.
So I'd go grab their books and read them as much as I could growing up. And that just kind of, that's what really inspired me. I wouldn't say I really had an experience. So probably more so once I started doing ghost hunts.
Okay. Now, you've had the good fortune of being under the learning tree with Dale Kazmierik.
Correct.
And also with Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yep.
I mean, that's
both of them.
That's some pretty big hitters. Yes. Right there. That's not.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. I was in Dale's group, and I dedicate part of the book to him. I always say he taught us the right way, everyone who's been in his group. I mean, he really makes us learn how to do it, use a lot of equipment, and really write down, like, you know, when you walk into a location, what are you feeling? What's the atmosphere like? Are you getting any hits on your EMF? Is it natural? Is it something to be explained? And I do thank him for that, because I feel like it helps me prepare for an investigation, especially when you're doing private ones with people that might not know these things and are having a lot of turmoil, and you're trying to go in there and solve a problem for them, essentially, because a lot of people don't like living in haunted houses.
That's true. That's very true. Let me ask you this, Nicole, because, you know, there are, I don't want to say they're few and far between, really good investigators or great investigators, but when you have a good resource like Dale, who's training or trying to train, you can only train so many people throughout a lifetime and do it well and turn out very good investigators. Where does the next crop come from? Because I'll tell you this much, you know, we have a kind of a weird thing going on. I mean, it used to be paranormal TV would kind of start the interest for people, at least for the last 10, 15 years, 20 years almost now. It would start that interest for people, and then people would reach out to local groups, and they would find somebody who would either train them right or train them not so right, and then they would learn different, and then they'd kind of fumble around and then get that training, or they'd come to a conference and they'd meet the people that they saw on TV, and then maybe they'd meet somebody from a local group, or something would happen along that way. Where do people go now that those investigators are slowly being pulled off TV?
I really think people are going to YouTube and TikTok, which, I mean, I feel the emergence of social media, obviously, across platforms. And I remember something Rosemary Ellen Galley told me years ago, that it comes in waves. So she's like, you know, ghosts might be popular for a couple of years, and it's more cryptids and it's UFOs. I feel like ghosts aren't as popular right now, and it is more of the crypto. But again, I think people are turning more towards YouTube. But I always welcome, if people have questions, to come to like my website or reach out to me, because like I want to explain what I do, and if somebody has a better way of doing it or a different way, like with Estes, you can do it so many different ways. Let's like share our ideas and see what we come up with. Because I do agree, I think it is harder to find groups and talk to people, and I think COVID just made it worse. Where people, you know, trying to connect and travel and things like that, it's just harder now. And I don't know if people are just more afraid to reach out to others.
That's a good point. Now, how did COVID change how we investigate, even post-COVID? How has it changed how we investigate even now?
Now, for us, interesting enough, COVID hit, and I actually had a newborn, so I wasn't going to be doing too much investigation anyway, but I call it my EVP partner in crime, Lisa Crick. She decided to do a remote Estes with us. So she traveled to the haunted location. We stood at home. We live streamed it on our TV, filmed it. And while she was in the haunted location, she was doing Estes with another person. I was doing Estes at home, and it kind of worked out. We were essentially talking to each other hundreds of miles away. So, I mean, there's the potential for people to do it remotely, or just, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, like I always try to say, you know, in my book, I say, if you can, I feel like private investigations yield better results, because you can kind of control the energy of your people. And I say, you know, I understand people with COVID, you know, if you can afford a private investigation, I would still like highly recommend it. Just reach out to places. A lot of places will be willing, as long as you're respectful.
I did notice in the book that you kind of, I don't want to say tamp down the excitement for public investigations, but you do kind of tell investigators,
I do,
especially new investigators, that maybe you should eschew public investigations, because you're not going to get that controlled environment. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, and because I trust the people I investigate with. So if you go to a location, for example, I went to Mansfield years ago with my husband and another investigator on our team, Jim Williams. They had never been there. I had been there probably, that was my fifth time. We did a public because we didn't have enough people to go at that time.
Okay.
And no pun intended, it was dead. But when we went, I felt like the public investigated, a lot of the people were being disrespectful. People were like yelling, kicking things, screaming. So I'm like, I feel like that can change the energy. If I was a spirit, I wouldn't want to come talk to you. I mean, I'd be like, all right, I'm out. So I understand money is an issue, and a lot of places are extremely expensive to rent on your own. But I just feel like you get more out of it if you can do it private.
Sure. Sure. And and I understand that too. Yeah. You get the results you want to get by surrounding yourself with the energy you want. And that's understandable. For a lot of people, though, and especially I think for those just starting out in the field, it may not be, you know, quite doable to put those funds together or to get those people together. And a lot of times, too, I think for groups that are first starting out or for people first starting out, they may not know their way. So maybe they want those people there that will show them the way, at least for the first couple of times that they're investigating.
True. So, and even if you do a private investigation, a lot of times if you reach out ahead of time, you can see if maybe they'll have a staff member that will be with you the whole time. And if not, you know, would that be possible? Because I feel like a lot of the volunteers at these locations do it on their own hours for the love of the location, and they would be glad to show you around. And I applaud people that volunteer, because I know numerous people spend hours and hours volunteering to keep these old places going.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And that is the important part, is that these old locations do keep going. I mean, that's the main part of it, that we keep them going. There are a lot of locations that, especially after COVID, were in a lot of trouble because they didn't have any patronage for that amount of time. So that is important. So let me talk a little bit about your group. Let's talk a bit about your group, who's in your group, and how it formed.
Sure. So I'm part of the American Spectral Society, and we formed back, in 2013. So 10 years. And it's just, we're kind of just a loose group of friends all around the country that get together. We've known each other for years. Like I said, I've been investigating for like 20 years, and I feel like I was just looking at most of the group has been around like 15 years plus. We have one member, Jim Grotchek, who is in the Illinois area. He's been 27 years. So we just kind of formed because, unfortunately, like as I got older, I wasn't able to travel as much and commit to like doing, you know, weekly investigations and things like that. So we decided to put together a group where, hey, if you could come with us, it's great. If you can't, maybe the next investigation. And I decided to house all of our evidence on ghostly-voices.com.
Okay.
So that's where the website came. So my goal is to share what I got, see what people think. Has all my audio on there. I do have some pictures, not as much. I'm more audio evidence, and we have a couple of videos, and, you know, contact me through there as well. So, I mean, some people on my team, I work closely with Lisa Crick, and she's down now in Georgia, but that's why I really say, once you, even if you're newer, if you start to develop relationships with people investigating and it works well, you know, stay with them, still connect with them. Cause I feel like it's important. If you mesh well with others on your team and you trust them, I feel like the evidence just flows and the investigations are a lot more successful. I don't work well with my husband with Estes. If me and him are under listening,
really
doesn't work well. No.
Really?
No. His friend, Jim, and him, they go back from kindergarten. They get stuff perfectly. But so it's like, I feel like sometimes it's trial and error. So don't get frustrated, whatever method you're using. Like it might not work well. So it's just interesting. Like even my husband, he doesn't really get EVPs. He doesn't really sit quietly sometimes. So I'm like, leave. Like I'm doing an EVP session. Needs to be quiet. Like controlled. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave. So I think it's just kind of like that ebb and flow of who you work well with sometimes that you get more evidence.
Well, okay. So there's some interesting things in the book that going through it and reading it, I'm interested in asking you about it. And let's talk about EVPs for a second, because I come from an era where Mark and Debbie Constantino, we talked about, you know, 2-minute quick sweeps of EVP or doing quick sweeps of EVP, trying not to tire out a spirit, so to speak. You know, doing quick bursts of EVP sessions. In the book, you say, well, don't do a session any longer than 15 minutes and letting a recorder sit. And to me, that seems like if you pick up a recorder, that's, first of all, that's a lot of review.
That's
a lot of review. But two, and just humor me here for a second, Nicole. I understand you want to get every last bit of what you're putting out there, or what may possibly be put out there, but when is enough recording time enough recording time, I guess is the question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first part with the 2 minutes, I will agree. Now, it's funny because I got asked this a while ago too, like when the timestamp of my recordings, like the EVPs I captured. Now I really want to go back and I don't know if I'd be able to do this, but like the project manager and me create some spreadsheet to see when I exactly captured them. Because I will say I probably captured all my best EVPs in the first 5 minutes of a session. Mm-hmm. So I agree with them in that. 15 minutes, I feel like sometimes a place needs to open up and warm up to you. Okay. And I feel like maybe that 5 minute buffer, and just depending on the reason why, I'll walk into a room, hit my recorder, I'll open the session up, tag everything, and I might be doing something else. So like I still have it running. So by the time I settle down, it's probably a good 4 or 5 minutes. Second part of the question, I forgot. Oh, when is too much too much?
Yeah.
That is a good, I mean, because you have to re-listen to everything that you potentially record. Mm-hmm. The reason I've been having recorders record for a longer amount of time is, and this is in the book as well, I've been getting the strange screech that's been following us. And a lot of the times it's happening when we're not in the location. We're not in that like specific location.
Okay.
And frankly, I'll throw my audio up on my wave pad and I'll look for like spikes mm-hmm. in the frequency if I know I won't have enough time to re-listen to everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons. I mean, if you have it running all night, you might not be able to essentially like know if somebody walked in and out. So that's why I always tell everybody where my recorder is to tag yourself. But I mean, to each its own. If you know you don't like to review evidence, then don't. That's everybody. Record and listen to their evidence. If you want to go in there and experience it, that's fine. I think it's kind of like to each its own, but I don't mind listening to ours.
No,
evidence.
I hear you, right. And you brought up
and
an one, interesting...
Yeah, and I don't, I mean, to me, I feel like, and I feel like it's like the project manager of me. I like to take all the data I could get and then kind of come up and like, see if there's any correlations, kind of digest it, see if everything aligns, and then put it out for the public to hear.
I guess the one thing I would bring up is if you have hours and hours of audio out there, and like you said, the more audio that's out there, the less controllable the factors that come into play, mm-hmm. potentially.
Yeah, so, especially in a public investigation, I don't think I would ever.
No.
I don't think I've ever had a recorder running, like ever.
No, this isn't a private, not a public.
Correct.
But even in a private investigation, although I'll give you the exception. I don't know if you've ever heard Stacey Jones's, it's like a, what is it, a 37 or 45 minute audio EVP? It's just
I've heard it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's disturbing. And mm-hmm. it's that rape scene in a stairwell, which is a residual haunting, but it's, mm-hmm. it's blood curdling is what it is. But the only way to catch that is to leave a recorder in that stairwell and get it and mm-hmm. to do that and leave it for a long period of time. So yes, there is a reason to leave a recorder somewhere for that amount of time. I get that. But if you're looking just for a disembodied spirit to interact with you, do you need to go longer than 10 minutes?
I don't think so, unless it's active. And by active, I mean is if you can detect a change in the environment, if something's okay. happening, maybe you feel something, maybe the temperature's changing. If you have a few gadgets, maybe like your EMF's going off. In that case, I might stick around a little bit longer
okay.
because you might not hear it. Like, you know, with an EVP, you might not hear it, but something might be going on. And if your equipment or your internal radar is going, oh, something's going on, I might stay a little bit longer. I usually say the 15 minute mark. That's just kind of what's worked for me. And again, that's why I like ghost hunting. Do what works for you. If you could be like Debbie and do the 2 minutes like they used to do,
yeah,
then you can hit a lot more locations,
yeah.
which is true.
Yeah.
And especially if you're in a huge space like Waverly, your time is limited. So if you could do those 2 minute bursts and get to another one,
yeah,
you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
If you could catch things.
One of the great tips you have in the book, and I think a lot of people don't do this enough, set your recorder down. A lot of people put it, you know, they've got it in their hand, they're waving it around. I even saw one person take and put it up to an air vent. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, wow. It was the air vent. Don't tell me it was on.
Yes, it was on. Yeah. But yeah, the waving it around and looking for spirits with a recorder. I don't get what that's about. I also see people do that with their K2 meters.
That's going to go off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw somebody walk right up to, a transformer once with a K2 meter, and I'm like, you're gonna get a spike.
I was gonna to blow up. No, I'm kidding.
That was at First Avenue. Somebody walked up to a transformer that was leaking with a K2 meter and went like this and said, I think there's something there. Yeah, it's a transformer that's leaking. Yeah, it wasn't very smart.
That's like a pet peeve of mine. Yeah. And now I have to put up clips because I've fooled around just to see, and you can get some strange noises waving it around. So I got to put that on like my debunking page, especially my older model. My older Sony recorder was very sensitive if you waved it around.
Yes.
It sounds like, rawr, 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 like a growl.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
Like just set it down if you can safely.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you almost have to. And yes. It's almost better to, if you're going to do an EVP session, set it in the middle of a circle with a bunch of you and ask questions. Yeah. Because the microphone is more sensitive than you think it is. It'll Correct. Pick up a whisper before it'll pick up a holler. And to set it in the middle of that circle rather than pick it up and run it around the room, because that's not gonna do anything mm-hmm. but just get you trouble.
You know. Yeah, and you could drop it. I mean, if you drop it, then you might be out of a recorder.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Very true. Yeah, it does break. It does break rather easily. Let me ask you about the romance of audio over video. I understand it, but a lot of people don't. What is it about audio that draws you in over video?
That's a great question. I mean, can I be frank? No.
Sure. No. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, video. For some reason, I think spirits are able to communicate easier over audio. I don't know why. I don't claim to be an expert. I feel like I get more things with audio, and I don't know why. With video, I've done it in the past when I was with Dale's group. I mean, we would take a lot of video, and we would be reviewing it in his basement for hours at end, and it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to mm-hmm. lie. Video, I think, to review is a lot harder than audio. It's time-consuming. It's just hard to watch a screen that's not changing for hours at a time. I just naturally, because I feel like I was getting stuff and connecting to spirits somehow. So I navigated to audio. That's just kind of it. So again, I don't claim to be an expert. It's just the way I like to go. And I like to just sit down and start talking with the spirit. And it's mobile. I could kind of grab my recorder, go set up, do what I have to, go to another location instead of lugging around. You know, I know cameras are small nowadays, but
yeah,
my old Sony Nightshot, I had to change the disc, you know, every yes. 35 minutes. Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a pain. Do you feel that audio maybe operates at a wavelength that the other side operates closer to, and maybe it's just easier to communicate with an audio device than a video device?
I think so. I mean, I really do. I mean, you're the audio, you're an audio expert. It's something. It's like some way they're able to manipulate it in a way I don't know how.
I think if we knew the answer, it'd be easier to break over to the other side and say hi, right? I
mean, definitely.
That was the basis of the SpiritCom was that it would, you know, it'd be easier to go back and forth and talk back and forth by using a radio transmitter. Unfortunately, the only one who's been able to somewhat try to replicate it is Bill Chappell. Mm-hmm. And even he got a little frustrated with it. So I find it interesting, though, that in the book you do bring up the video side of it, and you bring up the different spectrums of camera. I want to ask you, in your opinion, do you feel that one spectrum over another is easier to get any type of apparition?
Ooh. And I'll be honest, we haven't gotten much on video. Some of the best evidence on video was captured on the Sony Night Shot, and it was by Jim Grachek in our group. Full spectrum. I'll be honest, we really only haven't got we've gotten one questionable photo probably in the last couple of years. It was at a private location up in probably shouldn't say up in northern Wisconsin, I'll say that.
Okay.
It was in a barn that we can't explain. So I'm not very lucky with video, so I don't know. We've gotten hits on like the we use the Kinect hack for like the Xbox. We don't have an SLS camera. We've gotten hits on that at different locations, but I'm still on the fence with that. I've had a lot of people tell me they don't like it, and people that are really reputable saying there's too many false positives.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of
Well,
on the fence with
let's talk about that for a minute, because I've seen some things even with an SLS camera that I don't know that I believe. Do you feel that it's more of a toy than it is an investigative tool, or do you feel that there's credence to that investigative tool?
We've used the Xbox Kinect not a lot because we had it set up. It was very cumbersome. Now, my husband has literally just made it mobile the last year, so I'm going to try to use it a little bit more so he has it. You could walk around with it because I don't feel like paying for an SLS camera. I'll be honest, I'm not going to drop a couple hundred more than that for something I'm not sure. I don't know yet. I mean, I see really good clips from people, but I'm like, I know the couple times that we've captured things, other stuff was going on, like our meters were going off. One was at a private investigation at a school in Indiana, and there were some other strange things happening where the figure was appearing next to somebody investigating that. That I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird, but I'll say Craig Talicia, who in the book he actually wrote one of his own books called Strange Frequencies, and he created one of our audio devices that we started using. He's so anti. He's like, you need to stop using that. He's like,
You know,
and he's a tech guy. I mean, he's that's what he does for a living. He's like, yeah, you need to, it's false positive. I'm like, I don't know.
I get the idea that Craig's a pretty smart guy. I mean, he's created a couple of things for you, correct?
Oh yeah. Well, he's created, well, in the book it's called the Paranormal Research Instrumental Communication Device, and it's Prick for short.
Yes, it's Prick for
And
short. And he created
Prick.
it for you and Lisa, right?
Yeah.
So he created it
Yeah.
for two
Yeah.
women.
At least his last name is Crick. So it's kind of like a pun of play on is that as well, but that's the whole other. But yeah, he's out of Pennsylvania and he modeled it after a Frank's box and tried to just scan his thing with doing Estes is like you want to scan all the frequencies. And how he explained it to me is like you don't want to miss those digital frequencies in between frequencies. So he used an analog radio and created this device where it's scanning everything, he told me. So we're not missing potential frequencies that maybe spirits can communicate on. So he's so smart, it's like above my level, but it's a pretty cool device.
Well, didn't he create a Tesla coil speaker as well?
Well, my husband made that
Oh,
from
he
a
made.
kit. So I'm not gonna claim that, Craig made that or my husband made that. No, he got a kit online and made it.
Really?
And we yeah, so we've been trying to use that, not as much success. And the thing I even say in the book, like we have a lot of cool gadgets, but sometimes you're so pressed on time or you're fumbling with so much equipment, you don't want that to take over your investigation. And a lot of these things, they all require electrical input. So you have to make sure you're in a location that has electricity.
Well, the reason I bring that one up is I've seen Bill Chappell playing with a Tesla coil on site at the Palmer, and
That's what gave Al the idea. So he found a kit online where you could build it.
yeah. And I mean, Tesla coils are nothing to casually play around with, but he was
And this
getting
is more of a
some,
speaker,
yes,
so it's a
and
little bit safer than
yeah,
a true or
and
like a Van der Graaff. Because
right.
Dale has used that in the past, like a Van der Graaff, and you have to be careful. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and that was kind of how Bill was using it, but he wasn't using it in the safety of a speaker. He was using it out in the open, but he was pulling sounds in with it. And it was a kind of a rough design. it's hard to explain how he was using it, but this thing was sparking out in the open. And I was just kind of like, is that safe, Bill? He's like, I don't know. But he had rented the whole hotel, so I guess it was on him. But it was fun to watch. It was interesting. I think from those experiments come the Tesla speaker, but it was fascinating. That's what it was.
Careful, everybody listening. I mean, if you play around, it just like, and if anybody in your group has like a pacemaker or anything, just be very careful. Don't mess around with any sort of brain stimulator, even for Parkinson's, like be careful. Like, right. If you have those stimulators, please be careful.
The most basic thing, don't get your phone near a Tesla coil. It wipes it. You won't ever get your phone back. It becomes a brick. That's the most basic thing. I mean, that's what Bill told us all when we were standing around. He said, first of all, take your phone out of your pocket and put it away, far away from here.
So did he do like a Faraday cage or anything to like, I don't know. Like, I know there's been trying to do experiments. Like, I've been wanting to put like my recorder, like a Faraday cage to see what happens too. Like if you could get anything come through.
Oh, well, you know, in theory, if you put your recorder in a Faraday cage, you wouldn't get anything.
But would you if it could go in there and manipulate the spirit? I don't know.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
No, because in a Faraday cage, a spirit is energy. So
it
would dissipate. No. Yeah, no. If anything, a Faraday cage would keep anything out.
But what if it could go in there? But anyway.
No, because here's the thing.
No, you're right. It's energy. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Nicole. RF energy is what's picked up on the recorder, and RF energy would be blocked by the Faraday cage.
The Faraday cage.
Yeah, you wouldn't get anything. So yeah, it wouldn't mm-hmm. want to do that. Yeah. I mean, you could try it, but I don't think you get anything.
No, if you don't get anything, yeah, I'll have to think on that.
Give it a shot. I mean, if you get something, I'd be impressed. I'd be really impressed.
Okay.
But I mean, that would truly be supernatural if you got that.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. But in theory, a Faraday cage, and I could be wrong, but in theory, a Faraday cage blocks all energy. And that should include RF. RF is some of the strongest energy that's out there. So it should block it right clean out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you stick a radio in a Faraday cage, you shouldn't get anything. And a radio picks up RF. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, just a thought. I tell you what, let's take our break on that note, and when we come back we will talk more about the Estes method, what it is exactly, because I want to clarify for the people who don't know what we're talking about, what the Estes method is, and we'll get into some of the examples of some of your work, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the locations you've been on and what exactly you can pull from the Estes method. Why is it different from just listening to a regular old Shack Hack or Frank's Box or any of those other contraptions? I'll put it that way, a contraption, Nicole. Nicole Tito is our guest. The book is out there right now. Am I saying it right that the book is called Ghost Voices?
No, it's Estes Method.
Sorry.
And EVPs.
I'm sorry.
Search for ghostly voices.
That's right. Estes method. And that's right. My apologies, Nicole. But the book is out there right now. We have a link in the description of this program for the book, so you can pick it up during the break. When we come back, more with Nicole Tito. You are listening to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our guest is Nicole Tito. She is the author of the book that is out there right now, the book that we're talking about having to do with the Estes method, and EVPs, the search for ghostly voices, which we're going to talk about those ghostly voices right now, and the Estes method and how exactly we go about this. Now, you're not the founder of the Estes Method by any means, and you say that in the book. Mm-hmm. The Estes Method was created by who?
So the form SMS is pretty much sensory deprivation, which, as you know, has been around for thousands of years. But like for the way that we're doing it now, it was started in 2016. So it's relatively new if you think about it. And it was at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, where it gets its name, by Carl Pfeiffer, Connor Randall, and Michelle Tate. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of the creators of this, I would say, kind of like a newer version of sensory deprivation that you could do during ghost hunting investigations.
And it's a little different than just sitting around and listening to a spirit box or listening to a shack hack, or even the shack hack being the pin being pulled off of an old Radio Shack radio. I shouldn't say old, because I remember taking and running around the Stanley Hotel to every Radio Shack within a 45-mile radius and pulling the pins off of the shack hack radios that you know of now, and selling them at events, believe it or not. And it's really easy to do. And you point that out in the book. But there is a difference between what Frank Sumption built with a Frank's box and what we're talking about here, like with an SB7, which an SB7 and an SB11, I think, are night and day above what Frank Sumption built. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, because I feel like there's more control. You're able to sweep in like different, you know, AM, FM, forward, backwards. The audio, especially for the SB11, the audio output is a lot easier to hear. It's not as quiet. So I think the white noise generated, you can manipulate it a little bit more and have more control on what you want to do.
Also, there's a control in how fast you can sweep as well. I remember back in the day of the shack hack, you can only go so fast, and you would stop on certain stations, and it would create, I mean, you'd be able to pick up certain words, and it would give you false positives, because I can tell you a lot of people would just go straight to the AM dial, because in a lot of cities, the AM dial had more stations than the FM dial, especially when you're in smaller communities. Mm-hmm. So you would get more results on the AM dial than the FM dial. Now there's more on the FM dial than there is the AM dial in a lot of cities. And they would want that result of getting words, and would try mm-hmm. to fit the words in with the story of what they were investigating. How much of a problem is that with that false positive?
I feel like it could be if you, like you said, if you scan too slow, you're definitely going to get words or phrases. Hopefully if you are scanning too fast, you should definitely not get like a sentence by any means. If you are, and it's not paranormal, something's going on with your box, but it could be a false positive. I'm not going to lie, but I feel like once you start to do it more and more, you could kind of tell. And if you're in an area, you could kind of like, if you're listening, you could kind of almost tell the radio stations versus something else coming through.
Yes.
If that makes sense. It's hard to describe. I mean, that's why I say you got to kind of almost do it, get that white noise feel mm-hmm. and be like, okay, that's like that. But like with anything, there could always be false positives, but I think you kind of get into the rhythm and you can be like, oh, this is something that is coming across and it's not from a radio station.
Well, there's almost a sound when you hear it from a spirit, there's almost like it's almost like a guttural that comes out from a spirit, as opposed to a sound from the radio, which is very curt and quick.
Choppy.
Right.
Correct.
But on top of that, you hear things, and I've heard things from a spirit box that you aren't able to say on terrestrial radio. I mean, you know, swear words, mm-hmm. things of that nature, and guttural speech that you wouldn't hear on terrestrial radio, especially at that time of night. I mean, you know, you don't hear those things on terrestrial radio. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Now, with that, there's more to the Estes method than just sitting around. How does the layout of this work? You obviously mm-hmm. need more than just yourself.
Correct. So, I mean, at the least, you could have two people. So we call them operators and receivers. So the operator is the one that's running the session, asking the questions, monitoring the environment. Now, the receiver is the one that's going to be listening to that white noise. So the receiver is creating that sensory deprivation. They cannot hear anything besides what's coming in through their device, whether they're using SB11, SB7, plug it into whatever device is making that ch-ch-ch-ch. So they can't hear what the operator's asking. So it's almost kind of like that real time communication, because the operator obviously knows what they're asking and what's coming through. It can kind of change the questions and see if they're getting responses. We tend to do it with at least two people listening with their headphones. We haven't done it on the same device yet, but we have two people with their own two devices. Mm-hmm. Again, they can't hear each other. They can't hear the questions being asked. And we, a lot of the times, the two people listening will start talking to each other.
Okay.
Which, I know you're very familiar with, because a lot of people have gotten that. So for people listening out there, the operator really knows what's going on. It can hear everything. If you're listening, you're only saying what's coming through your box. And I say, try to say it how it comes through. So if they yell, if it's significant that it's like a male versus a female or a child, I say that. So I'll be like, male voice. And my team knows that. I know that's not common for everyone, but I like them to know if it's a male versus a female or a child. It might have some significance depending on what's going on.
So those who have never seen it before, the receiver is wearing a pair of headphones that are noise canceling. So they can't hear anything on the outside. They can't hear the questions that are being asked by the operator, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And they're blindfolded mostly, or they're closing their eyes so they can't see anything. So
we just got new goggles that create kind of like a Ganzfeld experiment, where they create kind of a red aura. They're pixel goggles, and there's a picture in the book as well. We literally just got them a couple months ago. So we're trying to maybe get those people more in a meditative state. Maybe they'll get more.
Okay.
If they're more relaxed, because I'll be honest, sometimes you're so tense because you don't know what's going on, that maybe if you are more relaxed, more stuff will come through. Just an idea. Haven't used it too much.
In the few times you've used them, have you gotten better results?
About the same. They worked for me.
Okay.
But again, if anybody has any issues with, seizures or any sort of migraines, just be careful.
Yeah.
One of the individuals on our team gets migraines bad, so she's not going to, just be careful because they could be flashing.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself at risk. So nothing yet, but haven't used them much.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. And the reason we say, close your eyes, try not to open, you want to just immerse yourself in that environment, and you don't want to know what's going on the outside. Cause if you open your eyes and you're seeing maybe your teammates in like cell block 8, you might be biased. Like, oh, why is Al in the cell block 8? Then you close your eyes again, and maybe you start to, hear things that your brain's kind of tricking you, So I say, you don't want to know what's going on. If you're in danger, your team should pull you out if something really is going on.
Right, right. So one of the scenarios that fascinates me, a lot like what Adam was just describing when he was on the program, is having two different receivers sitting there in a haunted location, and then being able to talk and listening to two different devices, and then being able to talk spirit to spirit, or having different results happening at the same time, which to me is absolutely mind-blowing, because when we set up a spirit box session, we're expecting just whoever's going to come through that device is going to come through that device. So you have whatever spirits are in the room are trying to fight for attention through one device. Now you have two devices set up, two receivers. Mm-hmm. You can pick and choose who you want to talk to.
Essentially, yeah.
You pick your operator and you can speak through them. Now, have you and Lisa, if that's who you're working with, Have you managed to have a conversation between the two of you and two different spirits, or have you managed to bring through two different spirits?
Yeah, we've had conversations, Lisa and I, I'd say in a few locations, Crown Point Jail. We've had, well, I feel like we've connected with the same spirit. And I know we have that clip that we got like a number coming through. Mm-hmm. And then other locations like the Monroe House in Indiana, we've gotten like two different spirits where one didn't really want Lisa to talk. Like I was more of the like aggressor yelling at Lisa to be quiet. So I feel like we've gotten two different spirits coming in, just depending on the location. Same thing when Al and Jim go, they partner a lot together. It seems like one will always want to talk more. Okay. And then a lot of times the other one's like, be quiet, don't tell them. It's like another spirit comes through that never wants to share information. Really? Which I've noticed at a couple locations. So I'm like, is it something following? Hmm. Not necessarily at the location that doesn't want other spirits to relay information. Like, is this working well? I don't know.
Well, what is that about? You know, it seems to me at a lot of haunted locations, and you just brought that up, that there's spirits that are willing to want to give information, but there's always that one spirit at that location, especially a malevolent spirit or a malevolent, a haunting that's more malevolent than others that doesn't want the other spirits to talk. Like there's almost like a gatekeeper.
That's a really good word for it. Yeah, I don't know why, but it seems like it comes through like that as well on the Estes sometimes.
Yeah.
No, be quiet. Shut up. Be quiet. No.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned Crown Point Jail, and we've got a clip here, the Estes Method clip that we can play. Tell us a little bit about Crown Point Jail and what's the story behind that haunting?
Sure. So Crown Point Jail is just outside. I mean, it's in Indiana. It's in Crown Point, Indiana, about an hour outside of Chicago. Been there many times. Great building. It was built in 1882 and closed in 1974. And was known for being unbreakable. You can't break out of here. But in March of 1934, good old John Dillinger broke out. He escaped. So he was being held there before he was going to be extradited. And he got out and he took two hostages with him and eventually got over the border and was freed. But I mean, a lot of other tales, since it was a long-term, you know, jail, a lot of bad inmates there. They had women housed there as well. There's a famous ghost named Anna that killed half of her family. So just a lot of particular things you'd hear with the jail, just a lot of bad energy. Great building. It's fun to see. And I feel of like the town, so he's still around the building because, you know, it's still kind of a lot of hustle and bustle down there. So a really good location, and they have a lot of records. So if you ever want to go in there and do research, they are doing a lot of work there, kind of retrieving everything and archiving, and every time I go there they have something new for you to look at, which is amazing.
Really? Okay. Well, the first clip we have is it's Lisa and you, and you're performing an Estes Method session at Crown Point Jail. You're acting as receivers. You're wearing headphones. Your husband and Jim are asking questions on the second floor cell block. So you're not together? Is this the...
No, we're all together in the same spot.
Okay.
But Lisa and I cannot hear each other. We're the ones with the headphones on. And Jim and Al are walking around the cell block, like the second floor.
Okay. So here's that clip right now. We'll go ahead and play it.
What cell number?
Seven.
Wow.
Seven.
Wow.
Seven.
And,
yeah.
And who is that who's saying seven? Is that you or is that Lisa?
So me and Lisa are both saying it. You're, so if you we're both saying it almost in unison. And at one point we both say it at the same time. So the two men can hear everything going on. And Al asks, what cell number? And then me and Lisa, I had no clue what he said, start saying seven in unison.
Wow.
So we both got it, not just one of us.
Now, were you both getting it from the same spirit, or were you getting it from different spirits? You don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And we were apart. We were probably on opposite ends.
Okay.
Again, we can't hear anything. I'm only hearing what's coming through my SB7.
Okay. We have another clip here where you and Lisa are performing the Estes Method on the first floor women's cell block. And Lisa gets some interesting responses. I'm not going to say what those responses are, but let's play the clip. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
You know what's weird? The camera keeps focusing. It's got like this auto detect.
Yeah.
And it keeps changing. So I don't know if there's something in here that's picking up.
Maybe.
It's like a, I don't know what you want to call it. There's like a square that.
Don't leave.
We're not leaving.
Oh, hear me. That was a female.
We hear you.
Don't leave.
Wow.
So that's probably the same spirit, because Lisa's getting, don't leave. Then you can hear me. We're both listening. Mm-hmm. And then I get, you know, help me. And then I make note that was a female. And obviously I'm a little bit closer to the recorder, so I think that was probably the same spirit that Anna, she likes to haunt that area of the jail.
Let me ask you this, Nicole. So if you're both sitting there, why would a spirit go from one to the other? Why jump from one to the other if one is giving the message clearly?
That's a great question. I don't know. Cause I don't know how, and I feel like I put this in the book too. I don't know how we're perceived. Like, are we perceived as energy by like the spirits? Like, how do they see us? And I've been trying to ask that more in my EVP sessions. Like, what do we look like? Or can you see us? And I've never gotten an answer, but maybe it's just the way they're able to manipulate or see. Maybe it's just like, if I jump back and forth, I don't know. And like, if anybody has a good idea or theory, I'd love to hear it.
It's like trying doorways. Like if the first door, I'll try the first doorway and the second doorway just in case.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, do they know if they're coming through? Like, can they see us react to like the, you know, the help me and the don't leave? I don't know. Like, I hope that they, I mean, I feel like they can, because a lot of times it's interactive more, but is there a delay on their side and like what they could do? I don't know.
Because we're kind of blindly shouting into the ether at them. Do you feel like there's kind of a half blind shouting back, or do you feel like it's a veiled shouting back?
I think a veiled.
Yeah.
But it's so hard. And I feel like we always have new technology and we think we're getting closer, but we're still in that limbo.
Yeah. It's all very, very interesting. We have another clip here, again, from Crown Point Jail in Indiana. While walking around early in the investigation, you captured a weird voice. We won't tell you what it sounds like. We'll play it for you. There's also a buzzing noise in the background, and it's a server that's emitting a lot of EMF energy. So we'll let people know that as we play this clip. We don't want people to misconstrue anything as we're playing it. So otherwise, I'm going to get a ton of emails here, Nicole, that's for sure. So here's that clip right now.
This will probably throw up for EMF detector.
I heard it. We'll tell people what it says now. Let's play one more time.
Okay.
Let's play one more time.
I'm ready to say, but let me know.
All right. Let's play one more time. See if people pick it up.
This will probably throw up for EMF detector.
Attic.
See, I'm wearing good headphones and I can hear the attic.
Yeah, I think it sounds like the attic. Yeah. This was an EVP because we did not hear it in real time. Mm-hmm. We had the recorder going. We were checking out the place. And the reason I wanted to say about the buzzing is not only to tag it, because it was loud. It's an EMF server. But it was emitting so much EMF. Our devices were going off like crazy.
Yeah. You know,
our K2s. But maybe that was fueling the spirit, giving it energy to communicate. So that's another theory. If there's a lot of EMF from like a server, maybe that can, you know, help a spirit manifest or talk. So I did want to point that out for multiple purposes, for, you know, that's not the paranormal noise, but maybe it helped the spirit say that.
Right, right. You talk about in the book using an EMF pump or using an EMF vortex. I want to talk a little bit about that for a second, because it's not unusual to use that. However, it can affect, as you just pointed out, it can affect the investigation. And although it's kind of like, What's a good analogy here? It's kind of like priming a pump in a way to try and get a pump to work properly. Do you feel like that's cheating a little? Like trying to get a result by it's kind of like a baseball player using steroids in order to get more home runs, right? You're juicing a little bit in order to try and get some results. Do you feel like maybe you're you know, flooding the place in order to see if you can get an EVP? Do you feel like maybe you're trying too hard at that point?
I never thought of it like that. Yes, I guess if you think of it like that, but I like doing that because then I feel like maybe it gives the spirit enough energy to manifest. But then I'm also aware that it is going to, you know, if you have a K2 with you or, you know, another device, it's you're going to get false positive.
Yeah.
And you might get them for, you know, so you can't use that evidence. But hey, anything I could do to help the spirit that I'm like, maybe to manifest, I'm all for it. So I'm in a limited amount of time in a location. I hope it's not hurting them.
See, like, I was just going to take the opposite thing. Is it helping or is it an irritant? I mean, are you throwing out? Are you?
He didn't say the F word to me.
Well, that's true. But no, if you get an EVP that says get out or what are you doing or something to that effect where the spirit's irritated, maybe you flooding a field with EMF is really just an irritant. Maybe it's like spraying mace in their eyes and saying, hey, come on out and play.
Yeah.
You know.
Potentially, but then I feel like if that were the case, a lot of houses by transformers or high power lines, they'd all be maybe haunted because if spirits were aggravated in that area, because it's constant flooding of EMF from those man-made devices. So
it'd be like living near a store with a huge neon light. It'd be like, you know, when Elon Musk put up that huge neon X and all the neighbors got pissed off and told him to take it down. You know?
Yeah. I haven't gotten many cuss words yet, so I'm still going to go with it. I do think it helps the environment. I think it kind of energizes it. Until I hear otherwise, I'm still going to use it.
It's more sugar to a bee than it is irritant then, huh?
I think so.
Okay. Fair enough. I just figured I'd ask.
To each its own, but
yeah. Well, no, it's fair. That's fair. I figured I'd ask because I've never sided one way or another. It's just plain devil's
advocate. I'll be honest. It's interesting. I've never had somebody point it out that way. So I'm going to like jot this down and be like, man, Tim was all over me with these things, but that's a good point.
Well, I always wondered because, you know,
that's why I think I am very respectful when I go on a location. I hate taunting and provoking. That's just not me. Mm-hmm. So that's, I feel like, going into a location, I always introduce myself, where I'm from, why I'm here, how long I'll be there. And I go into that a little bit in detail in the book. But that's just how I do it. So I could see your point if I'm flooding them with all this energy, like what's going on. But I'm always respectful of a place.
It's introducing something into the environment that's not there, you know, in order to flush something out. So you know, it's in that respect, you've gone from being part of the environment and investigating to being an intruder and looking for something. So, I don't know. It's again, that's the devil's advocate side of it, Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to be an ass here.
But then if they like the energy and like say somebody came to my house and was like, here's some extra chalk. And I'd be like, yes.
Yeah, but they stepped into your home unwillingly and went, here's some extra chocolate. Is it poison chocolate or is it good chocolate? You don't know for sure.
Yeah.
You're taking it without knowing. Without knowing what the motive is there. So look at me. I'm just being an ass.
I like it though. It's keeping me on my toes. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me see. I'm going to write this down. You're going to laugh. I will be writing all this down.
I'm just debating for debating's sake right now, I guess.
That's good. Cause then that lets us think in different ways. And I feel like that's what this field is about. Let's think differently.
Sure.
That's how maybe we'll.
Well, prove. You know what part of the discussion with Adam Berry when he was on, and part of his book talks about changing your thinking as an investigator rather than going in and poking the tiger in the cage and getting him to perform, is, you know, your thought is to, what are we doing it for? These are human beings too. So when you go in to a haunted location, what are you doing it for?
Yeah.
You know, what's the true purpose of going in there? So it takes it to another level, and it's actually a brilliant book. So it was one of the more interesting interviews I think I've done in quite some time. Not putting your interview down by at all, Nicole. It's just
no.
Just
but he always comes up with really interesting ideas.
Yeah,
that's what we need. I applaud that to help us think differently.
Yeah, so
to not get stagnant and do the same thing over and over again.
Right, and it just takes investigation to another level. It just it asks, well, okay, so that's nice. You got evidence now. What are you doing with it? You know, or how are you helping that spirit that's there, that human that's in that place? What are you doing to help that human? So it's just an interesting thought. So I have a clip here from Randolph County Infirmary. Can you tell me a little bit about the Randolph County Infirmary in Indiana?
Sure. So that's in Indiana, couple hours from Chicago, closer to Indianapolis, County Infirmary. It was a poorhouse. As many of you know, like in the Midwest, I feel like a lot of poorhouses, a lot of them unfortunately don't stand to this day, but a lot of energy in old poorhouses, you know, even Ashmore States, as a lot of people know, in Illinois was a poorhouse, just a lot of different energies. So in Randolph County, it was burned down, rebuilt, in the 1800s, and gosh, it was kind of a location for ill-fed children, homeless, mentally ill, kind of a combination of things like you would with a poorhouse. And typical hauntings, I mean, ghosts playing in the attic, children, you know, they claim to see a woman who may have fell down the stairs on like one of the floors. So just kind of a hotbed of activity. And I feel like it's kind of a newer location in terms of investigating. So I don't know as many people that have been out there yet. I know this is from a few years ago, but we decided this was a remote Estes method, as I said before. So Lisa is in the haunted location and I am at home.
Okay.
So it's interesting. We were doing Estes, but we actually caught an EVP in my house.
Really?
Which is not haunted. So the voice you're going to hear is actually an EVP while we're doing Estes. Because I get that question a lot. Can you get EVPs with Estes? Well, yeah, but as long as you know, I know it's not any of us because we're filming it and it's none of our voices.
Okay. Well,
so that's why this clip is interesting. I have the video on my website if you want to look at it too. And we're all getting filmed and this voice comes up and it's none of us. It's not with Estes. It's an EVP.
And it's
from my house.
It's none of you. All right, let's go ahead and play that right now. This is the Randolph County Infirmary investigation. Here it is.
Are you able to communicate with Al and Lisa at the same time?
Watch. Here it comes. It's today.
Huh. Okay.
Wow.
So the here it comes, it's today's Lisa talk.
Yep.
That's what she's getting on her radio.
Yep.
But that voice before is none of us. And you can hear Jim at the beginning asking a question. He's at his home in Indiana.
Okay.
But that voice is coming from my house because I was running my recorder. Nobody else got it. And my house is not haunted.
Let's hear it one more time. Because, yeah. I mean, that is clear as day. Here it is.
Yeah, and I have a video of it as well.
Okay, here it is.
Are you able to communicate with Al and Lisa at the same time?
Watch. Here it comes. It's today.
Huh. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's me at the end going, huh. Okay. So that's nothing at the end. That's just me talking. But yeah, it sounds like watch.
It does sound like watch. It's wow.
Watch.
Wow. Yeah. It's like watch. Watch me do this. Like,
yeah.
I can
and
do
then
it.
Lisa says, here it comes. It's today. She gets over her spirit box and she's hundreds of miles away in Indiana. But the watch came from my house. Just outside Chicago. So just
Wow. That is something. That is something. Okay. This one is an EVP clip, and according to you, it's one of your saddest EVPs. Is this Nema? Is it Nema Colon Castle? Nema? How do you?
Yeah, they call it Nema Colon.
Nema Colon?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Okay. What's the story behind the castle?
Yeah, so cool location. You can investigate there. It's a lot of the stories behind it was it's built. Don't even ask me how to pronounce the river, but it's on one of these rivers, and one family lived there. A lot of cool history. It was like an Indian Native American trading post. Lived in the same family, gorgeous mansion. A lot of the same furniture is from like the period time. So just great artifacts, a lot of historical significance. Of course, it was built in like the late 1700s, so very old. And like natural, a lot of the family members obviously died in there, just how the time period. So good history run by the Historical Society out of for Nema Colon. Typical haunting. So we went up there to investigate. And this, I'll just set this up for you.
Sure.
This is my old Sony Nightshot camera. So I literally just changed the CD and I walked out. So if you hear background noise, we're in another room, but nobody's in the room. And I just changed the camera. So this came from my camera recording of my Sony Nightshot Plus.
All right, let's take a listen. Okay, let's hear it one more time. Whoa. I heard it. Let's hear it one more time. One more time. Wow.
Yeah, to me it sounds like, well, what do you think it sounds like?
I think it says, help me.
Yeah, like an old, I feel like an old male going, help me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I walked out probably about 2 minutes before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow. Just kind of, I know that's like still one of my saddest ones. And I captured this, gosh, years ago. Rosemary was actually on that investigation as well. I was with Dale. And we were investigating that location.
Yeah. This last one, you've already mentioned it before. You've had this screech that has followed you for years.
Yes.
And you haven't come down to what exactly it is, or what's the story behind this again?
Yeah, so I started thinking about it probably like 2-3 years ago, and I call it the screech because it almost sounds like bird-like in most of the clips that we've captured it. And looking at my notes, the first time I captured it was June 2009, Waverly Hills. Mm-hmm. The last time was June of this year, 2023, at Tinker Swiss Cottage. That's in Rockford, Illinois, a museum. And I counted it 32 times. And I got it on different cameras and different recorders. So I got on like 3 of my cameras, 2 of my recorders, 1 of my teammates' cameras. And also I've gotten it on the full spectrum camera. So I'm like, I've gotten at least 6 or 7 different devices.
Wow.
And it sounds very similar in most. So what I did was I sent you like the short clip. So I clipped it 32 times and put it all together. Sometimes we're talking over it. So sometimes, most of the time we don't hear it. So most of the time it's like an EVP. Okay. We don't react to it.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know what this is. It's weird. So if anybody else has something like this.
All right. We're going to take a listen to it and see what exactly this is. Here it is.
Showering.
either more staying the timer following you, or it sounds like a bird.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes we're talking because we're just talking, you know, my recorder was still going at you know, during the session or something like that. So mm-hmm. I couldn't clip out all the times when we're talking, but it's weird and it's yeah, similar and it's not the same piece of equipment. Cause at first I'm like, oh, it's just the equipment, but I'm like,
no, it's
no, yeah, not yeah. on seven different types of equipment, both old and new. Yeah. I mean, my Sony Nightshot's old, but then I got on a recorder I got like a year ago. So, and I don't really manipulate my audio much. I really don't. That's, I just clip it. I don't ever really tweak it. That's just not my, this is my style.
Now you said your house isn't haunted.
I don't think so.
Okay. But have you ever had like, this is going to sound weird, but have you ever had like a big string of bad luck or anything like that? Or anything personally that make you think you're personally haunted?
I've had bad luck. I'd had weird things in the house, but I almost take it as people visiting me. Like, you know, things falling over, a salt yeah. lamp turning on. I've had bad luck, but I don't chalk it up to being haunted.
Is this also, this almost seems like it's something that's following you, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, but you know, knock on wood, I'm pretty happy where I'm at with my life and
yeah, yeah,
things like that. So it's like, I don't think if it is haunting me, it's not winning because I'm overpowering it.
Sure. Well, I'm not saying it's.
No, yeah, I don't. And it's been on, I haven't sat down and I mean, I made a spreadsheet. I don't really see a lot of correlated. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Is it something trying to communicate with us? Is it just following us? Is it attracted to our equipment? Is it something like a, I don't even know what you call it. I know Rosemary used to say like a lot of different terms for like interdimensional beings and things like that. But I'm not very well versed in any of that. So I don't know. And she's not around to ask her opinion. I don't know. So I'm trying to get it out there. Is anybody else have something like this or a noise that's following them or a voice? I think it's a noise. It's like a screech. It's like a bird.
Yeah. It sounds like a bird, but it feels like,
it started in Waverly Hill. So what followed us? No, I don't know.
Well, no, when you say Waverly, there's a lot of, like, for lack of a better term, there's a lot of crap in Waverly, but I mean, it might have followed you from Waverly and it's just around, you know, like it's.
I don't know if it's interested in what we're doing.
Yeah, it's enthralled with what you're doing because you have these methods of communication and it knows it can communicate. So every time you open up that channel, it says something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes itself known. But it's not human. You know, it's almost like it's, I don't want to say it's elemental. It's not an elemental. It's.
Oh, that's the word. Yeah, I was. Yeah. And again, I'm not well versed with that. That's just like, I don't know.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a, I don't think it's a Native American spirit. I don't know what it is, but it.
I don't know. I just always know back when, you know, when Frank's box first came out and we were doing investigations with Rosemary and she would put on her box. It always seemed like shadow people were attracted to the box when she turned it on. I remember her saying mm-hmm. it. So it's like, are we attracting, like you said, an elemental or something else by this communication? Like, is it like, hey, what's going on? But this has been, what, since 2009 is when I first noticed it.
It almost sounds like a thunderbird.
And that's what, you know, we got it down in Alton, Illinois, which has the Pisa bird. We got it in Mineral Springs probably the most, which is right there by the Pisa bird. And Mineral Springs is in Alton, Illinois, in the Mississippi. And I think we got it six times there. But that's when we got on a bunch of different equipment. I got it on mine. I got it on Jim's. And I think that one evening we got it six times when we were investigating with Dale back in 2009.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I finally was like, let me put this together, the clip. So I do have like a long clip on my website that's maybe 2 minutes that has a little bit more like of us talking if we're talking while the noise comes through. But again, most of them are EVPs. We don't hear it. We don't react to it in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like it's clairaudient or anything like that. Like you're not hearing
not
it.
Disembodied, noise or anything. So
you're not physically hearing it.
Nope.
It's just when you open up that channel, it's making itself known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting stuff. Well, maybe if somebody in this audience who's listening to this program has an idea of what it is or they've heard it before, they could write in either to you or to me. So, yeah. Hopefully
Please
we'll
do.
Get an answer for it. Yeah, that's for sure. You talk a little bit about the future of investigating in the book, but let me ask you, Nicole, as we begin to wrap up the interview here, what do you feel like the future of investigating is?
For me, I feel like share. Let's communicate with each other, get our ideas out there. Don't let technology take over too much, but I really like, I got to pick up Adam's book, like watch how you approach like an investigation and like you said, you know, stop poking the bird or poking at, but let's like get together, work together, communicate what we have and get our evidence out there and play off of each other. If you're like, hey, have you tried to do this in this way? Or have you used this device with this device? Like, let's share and work together and not try to be at each other or try to compete with one another. Cause I like to learn off everybody. And if they have a question or I have a question, let's communicate, see what we could capture.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like there is room in the field to go back to older methods, like using a psychic on investigations or even maybe using things like table tipping or any of that?
Yes and no. I think we could keep it. I think sometimes we get so immersed in the equipment that you could keep it simpler. And I think we'll have success that way too, as opposed to having just too much technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think like, and even with like my everyday life, I think we need to find like our flow, find how to connect, and whether that be with a couple devices or how your energy is and work with it. Cause I think everyone's a little bit different. I might be good at audio or someone's better at video or like someone who has psychic abilities, which I don't have. They could just go in there and pull the energy.
Mm.
So I think for me, it's working with each other, and don't worry about how many likes you're getting or, you know, on YouTube, like reacting to certain things and filming, like go in there, get the experience and then share with others as best as you can.
Yeah, exactly. The book is Estes Method and EVP, The Search for Ghostly Voices. We have a link in the description of this program. Nicole Tito has been our guest and the author of that book. Go out and get it right now, folks. That's what we're encouraging you to do. Nicole, I want to thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank my guest today, Nicole Tito. The book is Estes Method and EVPs, The Search for Ghostly Voices. We have a link to it in the description of this program. I encourage you again to go out and get it, whether you are a beginner in the field or an intermediate. Whether you are a beginner in the field or an intermediate in the field. In other words, if you're, you know, you've got some experience and you haven't been out in a while, you need to brush up on some of the technology in the field. It's really a broad-based book with broad-based knowledge in it, and is good for a brush up. It really is. It's got some great stuff in it, and Nicole really knows her stuff, and she's studied under some people who really know their stuff as well. I was pleased to page through it and really brush up on some stuff that I needed some brushing up on as well. So I found it highly informative and a good book. So pick it up. Again, Estes Method and EVPs, The Search for Ghostly Voices. We have it in a link in the description of this program. You can just click on it and order the book right away. Check out the website as well for the team and check out some of their evidence as well. I think you'll find it very interesting. So there you go. Folks, I want to thank you so much for continuing to tune into the program and to just being good family members. We'll put it that way. And continuing to listen to the program. Again, I'm going to remind you not to hold on to the programs for too long. We like to get credit with our advertisers for listening to the program. So if you could try to listen to it within 2 weeks of getting the download, we appreciate it. That way we get credit for the advertising and we get our advertisers coming back. That's what pays our bills and keeps us in business And that's what we appreciate so much from you. So if you could listen to the shows as soon as you get them, or as close to as soon as you get them, we appreciate it. I know sometimes you like to store up the shows and listen to them at work, or listen to them on your voyage to work, or maybe when you're working around the yard or whatever it is you do. And I realize that it's a convenience. I do that with some of my favorite shows as well, too. But you know, like I said, it helps us out and helps our advertisers out if you are able to do that within a 2-week period. So we appreciate it if you could do that as well. We're on the weekend again, folks, and it's starting to get to our favorite time of year. We're getting into October now, and it's a spooky season, so to speak. So again, we're wishing you a very happy October. Do something for yourself, but do something for others as well. Help somebody with their Halloween decorations this weekend. You know, there's people out there that are infirm, or some elderly that may need some help decorating around the yard or doing some yard upkeep. You know, help somebody out this weekend if you can get a chance. It'll help you, help them. It'll help you feel good about yourself. Help them feel good. Just a little tip from your friends and neighbors here at Darkness Radio. I want to thank you again so much, folks, for being there for us. We enjoy being there for you, and we're looking forward to another great week next week of Darkness Radio. Check out the archives at darknessradioshow.com. I've had some people ask, where can we get archives of the show, or where can we listen to old episodes? As of right now, darknessradioshow.com. There is an app that's good for iOS. You can, if you have an Apple device, there's a Darkness Radio app that you can listen to. We're looking to relaunch, maybe in the next 3 to 6 months, the Darkness Radio Android app. In the split, the Android app went to the other party. So we need to relaunch it on the Darkness Radio side. So we'll get that reestablished here shortly. And if you are a developer that's interested in helping us out with an Android app, just hit me up at tim@darknessradio.com. That'll do it, I think, for this week, folks. Again, we're excited about October and some of the stuff we're going to be bringing to you in October. I want to thank, first of all, Jess Lurie, who showed up and really blew our minds this week. A nursing home for serial killers. That's all I got to say. That blew my mind this week. The things you learn when you take the stroll down that lane, huh? And I want to thank Nicole Tito for a great show this week as well. And of course, Beer City Bruiser, who always brings it on Supernatural News and on Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. It's been a good week. For Beer City Bruiser, for Mally Fox, and for Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much, folks, for being here with us for another great week. We'll see you next week for another great week here on the best in true crime and paranormal programming. We'll see you next week on Darkness Radio.